right. You want me to kick it off, Mark? What is up, Locker Room Access family? We got a little off, I don't know, postseason wrap-up. I would say off-season Q&A. We've got a bunch of questions, thoughts, concerns for the off-season. We thought we'd jump in and just talk about all that is going on with UVA Hoops. The things we wanted to touch on, obviously, transfers. Who's in? Who's out? What are we hearing? What's the latest? Reese, is he going, staying? What's his NBA prospects look like? The incoming guys, both transfers, Dante Harris, Elijah Gertrude, Blake Buchanan. What have we heard? What have we seen? Who do we know that has seen something? So those are all the things that I personally wanted to talk to the crew about. And you know, we can talk about a few other things, but I thought that'd be topical for us just to kind of jump in. Maybe if people like these, leave some comments and we'll do more of these. But I thought, you know, give us 30 minutes, 40 minutes of your time today while we're watching the games and jump in. How does that sound, Mark?
That's great. And I think that that information is so pertinent, and a lot of our listeners, those are topics that we all want to hear about. We want to hear about them ourselves. As you said, TW, you want to hear. We've talked about a lot of this with some of it with Jay Willie. We couldn't fit everything into the Jay Willie show on the last show on Thursday, I think it was. And after the show, five of us, Spencer and Dougie and you and I and Jay Willie, talked about some of this other stuff. In addition, I don't know if we're going to fit in on this show, but I think how NIL is impacting the future of college basketball is going to be so significant. It's going to impact not just who's coming in terms of first years and freshmen, but also transfers.
There's the first one. Maybe we'll start here.
What's the rumor? Jumping right into it.
What's the rumor about Trout transferring? We hear it too. There's no official word out of Trout's or the coaching staff, so this is nothing official here. But Spence, you posted something, or you gave us a screenshot of Trout was in Nebraska with his girlfriend. That affair, is that factual?
Yeah. I mean, just going through what we know that there's a lot of rumors flying around. There's some information in our Locker Room Access VIP intel report from Who's Got Next, if you're able to check that one out. But what we do know is that Isaac Trout is in Nebraska right now. And the rumors flying around is that that's his destination is Creighton or Nebraska. If he were to leave, that would be where he'd be headed. And I think that that's definitely something that we should look out for. And what do we think about that, guys?
Yeah, like I haven't heard much. Is he homesick? Is he what's going on? Like, it's been pretty quiet. I know he's you know, on the scout team, and he redshirted, and Fresh has talked about how lonely it is to be a redshirt, even if he has somebody else.
You feel like you're on the outside of the team. You know, you don't, and different guys have different personalities. Looks like Leon Bond, you could put him in the middle of a desert somewhere, and he's going to have fun. It just looks like I don't know him well. I've met Isaac once. I'm going to say he's gone, and it's going to be like. One time I was on vacation. I knew it was Friday when I woke up, and I was leaving on Saturday. And I opened the newspaper, and it was Thursday. So I, like, had a huge win. So assume he's gone, and if he comes back, it'll be like, oh, shit, you just extended your vacation. In this case, it'll be 4 years. But yeah, I'm assuming he's gone.
If I'm being honest, it's hard for me to be, like, feeling one type of way about or other about a guy we haven't seen play. You know, red-white scrimmage. You hear whispers of this and that. I've heard both sides saying people, he can't play defense. He's not going to play. And I've heard others say he can shoot the lights out. He's going to be a huge asset. So I don't really know what to think. So it's kind of one of those things for me that's like, well, it sounds like a bad thing, but I don't know if he doesn't like it here and he misses home. Like, why stay? Like, just leave.
The bad part for me, we talked about on the Jay Willie show is the investment that's happened from us and them and. You know, his investment as well, not taking away from that. But to get the free look on a red shirt and then be out, you know, but I guess he had the year to look around and see if, but I don't know what he's going to do. Let's see.
What have you heard, Mark, of in terms of, like, you've seen him in practice or you've heard about him? Like, is he – what kind of player is he? Do you know?
G-dubs. Like, there are reports that he's not the best defensive player and he's a skilled offensive player, which is why, as I understand it, he didn't get to play this year. But I don't know if that's true and that he – you know, the future's bright for him. And I think that the fan base – that we all – a lot of people like to speculate, which is the opposite of me. I don't want to speculate too much. But everybody wants to speculate and talk about how good somebody's so-and-so is going to be and how great this person's going to be and how this person's not going to be that good. And if we listened to everybody who speculated, we would be so far off base. We'd be living in a completely different universe. So, like, and people are speculating who've never seen the kid in practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, just saying with Milicek.
Right.
I've heard so many things. I was like, who? I don't even know who the guy is, right, before the season started. And people were talking about he was like as if he were going to be the next Larry Bird.
Who's Milicek? Igor?
Igor, right?
Oh, I forgot his last name.
I think he's coming off the bench in Charlotte right now.
Yep.
So, like, guys, like, it's depending on my mood, sometimes it really bothers me.
Right? Yeah, I can say I saw one practice with Sam Hauser his redshirt year. Now, he wasn't a secret. You could watch tape and Marquette, et cetera. But I watched one practice with Isaac Trout before the Duke game when we were all done, and he can shoot it. Right. Like, demoralizing your first team's defense, shoot it.
But let's – okay, one is practice. Two, let's talk about the UVA basketball team in terms of this year, the level of play, and just college basketball in general on the whole versus 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago and even when you played. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The level of competition in college basketball is always good, and I always love it, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's not like – so guys who are excelling in practice against a UVA team that's always going to be good but not great, like, the talent level on this team is solid and they're good. Guess what? I would love to have played that. I'd love to be able to – all my kids to play at UVA, not just one. And I'd love to have played there when I was this age, and I wouldn't have been able to even at this age if I were – 18, 19, 20, 21 now with the same game I had back then. So there's only a few people who can do it, but it's not the same level of play that it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
For sure.
Right? So a guy that's really good now, guess what? You look at our team, we lost in the first round against Furman, but not – I mean, yes, it's somewhat of a surprise, but we're not – do we have NBA players on this team right now?
That's the thing. That's what we talk about, right? Compared to 19, it's got 5 or 6 guys in the NBA, whatever level, right?
Or before and
even after.
And Hauser. But that team never had a chance to gel, I don't think. Right? So
yeah,
that was going to be – I don't know if we're ready to segue into transfers, but it's hard to pull a team together transfer. And unfortunately, I'm 4 guys getting paid. But I think it's also – I just hope it doesn't destroy – NIL doesn't destroy college basketball and the product, selfishly. And yeah. I think it has a huge potential to
impact
college basketball. And again, college basketball, the product isn't as good because you got guys going to the G League Ignite, the best players. You got guys going to Team Overtime. There's like, I don't know, 20 guys in overtime or somewhere, something like 15 to 20 guys playing in overtime, which I get. Right. Guess what? If I'm going to make $200,000 or $250,000 or $1 million as an 18, 19 year old.
Of course.
We just got the phone with Ty and we were having that conversation and he was still defending his decision, which I am too, about going to UVA and saying, well, but what if you had $500,000 someone was offering you to go somewhere else instead of UVA? He's like, yeah, but you know what? He couldn't say – well, I think a lot of people – I think his time at UVA was so important and so great that looking back, it's hard for him to understand what the real scenario would be, right, being able to eliminate in his mind that experience he had.
And he's also – he's in the fourth year of a contract that money comes fairly quickly, right? It's definitely hard to understand. But
I'm not saying any of it.
Well, I get it. I could do the math. I could do the math and divide, you know, times 0.6, or I can divide by 2 quick. Anyhow, that's been our argument the whole time along, right? What, look at what happens after. Look at Ty Jerome. Let's take Ty. DeAndre Hunter is going to be a pro no matter what, probably, right? And for a guy like Ty to say, listen, Virginia had a lot to do with the fact that I was a first round NBA. That I wish we all wish more kids would listen to that. I just think the NIL thing. I think the advantage is to the cheaters because they're not foreign to it. It's a huge disadvantage to a Tony Bennett type and others because they don't know how to cheat. They never have cheated. And so if all of a sudden you say your cheating is now legal, guys have a huge advantage. They've been, you know, it's like if you drove in New York City your entire life and you moved to Fayetteville, Tennessee, and they say there's no driving rules down here anymore, Mark's going to win the race every time. It's not even close. Eat my dust.
I'm not sure that I like that comparison, Dougie. I don't want to be called a cheater. But guess what? Let's take St. John's. Right, you think that Pitino's gonna adhere to the rules of not being of the St. John's coaching staff following policy and being ethical and not having meetings with the collective about what they're gonna offer? That's the rule, right? That's the rule that you cannot. I think that you're violating that you can't have a relationship with the collective. T Dubs, is that accurate?
Correct. I mean, they can't directly the coaching staff can't directly affiliate anyone to a collective. Yes.
I'm coaching St. John's right now, and I'm Rick Pitino. If I were Rick Pitino, we know that's a history of offering, allegedly he didn't know there were prostitutions going on between the players and
he lives in the gray area. He's always somewhere in between right and wrong.
I mean, it might at this point the collective might be interview number two. It might be meeting number two, right?
What?
Coach is the first meeting with a transfer or a new player, and the collective might be all right. And at 2 p.m., you're gonna go see this guy named whoever, and
right.
But I don't know anything about it. But you have a meeting at so and so, blah blah blah, and you go, and that's what it is.
So, right, but Rick Pitino at New York, I'm that guy, and I'm coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm gonna get luxury apartments for all my players on the Upper East Side or in Midtown East. So they can live in beautiful apartments. Like, that's the value of that. $10,000.
You put them in Sunnyside or Long Island City. They won't know the difference. It's all good. Give them New York City views.
Right? Especially when you have pools and gyms and
longhouses. Yeah. They have them everywhere. Right. Sure.
But now you take an Uber on the way to school, take classes, go to practice, mm-hmm. come back to your luxurious apartments. That's nicer than any campus, right? Any campus apartment. Right, so the value of that might be $100,000, $120,000 a year. Okay, and then on top of that, I'm going to get another $200. This is the greatest thing, and I get to live in New York City and go to the nicest restaurants. Like he has a chance. He may make St. John's very relevant, right? Versus Bennett,
just make a St. John's party bus Uber. You know the people like go to like bachelor parties and stuff in the city, just like one of those 15 seaters, picking the guys up for practice.
Perfect. Sign me up. Or this is Tony Bennett, who's not going to do that. So my fear with the NIL is that Virginia may not be true, but my fear is that we're going to fall behind.
Well, I think there's the other side of that coin is let the chips fall to where they may with the NIL stuff and all those that really are looking for that. And there's going to be a group of people and transfers and potential students that are really in it for the right reasons and want to get better and see the long vision and want the NBA Ty Jerome experience, given that's going to really limit our pool of players. But like that, I don't know. I don't have an answer, but like, I worry about it too, but I wonder if that's sort of the chips fall where they may about all this stuff. And then what's left, we'll see what's real at UVA.
But like, let's take a few schools, you know, and I hear what you're saying. Let's take Princeton, UVA, Creighton, Villanova, Michigan State, right, versus Duke, St. John's, whatever. And you, in that group of schools I've listed, Princeton, Michigan State, Villanova, UVA, mm-hmm. Creighton, those are all schools that I think you can get a great experience. And you're going to the schools allegedly for the right reason because you want a good education, you want quality basketball, you want a healthy culture. But now Creighton's offering 200,
right?
Or 250 or 300, and UVA is offering 50. And I get the same experience, right? So you know, guess what? 250, 200, life-changing money for a lot of people. Even, and that might be a year. So
that's right.
On the road, I'm making close to $1 million. Before I even turn, think about if I'm going to be – and all these guys, most of them think they're going to be NBA players. Right? And if families are somewhat financially challenged, not that hard of a decision, no matter what size. No matter what he says, right? Who was getting recruited? Basically, about the schools, too. But if you don't have NIL involved, like, I'm pushing my kid to Virginia.
To Ty's point, I assume it's part of his point. NIL money, no matter what the level, is not going to make you an NBA basketball player, right? College basketball money, it's going to be your work and your drive and your hunger. You know, a guy like Ty, if he came to Virginia, they gave him 250 grand, he'd be like, oh, that's fine. And he'd still put his work in, I assume. Now, other guys, what happens now, right? I got 250 this time. The kid from Illinois, Sky, two Ys, whatever. And now let's go find the next one next year. The next one, you know, stack it up. But are you putting the work in? Maybe they do. But my guess is no, they don't.
So is it every year, right? I'm signing up for 250 this year. Guess what? I get a little better. Next year, someone's offering me 400 or 500. I think this thing is a mess.
Yeah. Why? We agree.
It's destroy, and I so hope it doesn't destroy college basketball.
If we're going back to Trout, not the whatever, I have no idea about his family or anything. I think his dad may be a chiropractor in Grand Isle, Nebraska. I'm not sure why I know that, but it hit me. Whether he needs money or not, I don't think he's going somewhere for money.
Yeah,
I think it's
Instagram
posts with holding hands. And very explicitly, it said Nebraska, right? It's not just I'm home. Yeah. And it was Nebraska.
Let's not forget the flip side of that. Imagine if you signed him to a huge NIL deal to come to UVA, 300 grand. One year he doesn't like it. He goes home. How you feeling? How you feeling about your NIL money? Same deal, right? There's another side to that coin.
But you know what, though, Dougie? His dad's money is not his money.
No, I agree. I'm just saying you said we don't know situations. Like I have no idea.
No,
Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like for a lot of people, I mean, there's going to always be guys who are coming to UVA and they don't care about the money. It doesn't matter what their financial situation is, but they're coming for the program. They're coming for the potential to make it to the next level. And they're not coming because we have the best NIL deals. But we still have to be in the ballpark where they're going to come. They're going to feel good about, I'm getting a great education. I'm in a great program. I'm getting better, and I'm going to hopefully get to the next level. And on top of that, I'm making.
I think we lost Spencer for a second. But I think it's about feel, and maybe somewhere Spencer was going about feeling valued.
Yeah.
Just like you guys, everybody leaves school, right? You graduate from school. What offers do I have for me, whatever I do, if I finish law school, if I finish B school, whatever, right. Or I just graduate, right? And whatever my next job is going to be. And I'm feeling valued because I worked really hard.
Yep.
And this company might be considered the best company. This company might be considered a great company for potential, right? Getting you better in whatever field you're in. This company might be considered a mid-level company. Maybe they're offering the most money, right? I think you can make the comparison in some ways. So, you know, where do you go? Where do you feel your value?
Right. And so, and sometimes you tie those two together, right? The person offering the most makes you feel the most wanted. Like, if you can go that route, right? Who's recruiting you the hardest? It's whoever's offering the most money. I could see that being those two things being tied together.
And then if you go down the line, Mark, where do you go back to? If you went to four schools or five or three or what, like, where do you go like later? Like, it's a special experience. I know it's impossible to explain that to everyone at this point, but you know, Ty's always going to go back to Charlottesville. So they go there in the summertime, those kids, right?
You're absolutely right. But I don't know that before, when you're 17, 18 years old, that you can see down the line, especially as things change, and guys are changing. Rules. It could possibly happen. Maybe it won't. It doesn't. Or guys, like you talked about this kid, Sky, whatever. If guys are changing, guess what? I played really well this year. I got 250. Like the kid from Miami who was at Kansas State last year, I think.
He's got Nagel? Nigel? whatever. He's got a great name. Mark, did you just drop an F-bomb, by the way? Is that a self-bell?
No, I don't know where that bell came from.
Oh, I thought you dropped an F-bomb, so I was about to hit you.
No, Dougie, technical foul.
Surprise, a technical foul. Let's sit out. Flagrant 4.
A technical foul. But, so, we're going to get the question in a second because I just want to make this point, and then somebody else may make a point. Thank you, Lance and Kim, for chiming in, and we'll get to your questions. But, but that's the kid from Houston. The kid, Nigel, whatever, goes to the backcourt in
Pack.
Pack, right. Nigel Pack goes to Miami from Kansas
State. Love his name.
And he gets 500, 400 or 500, whatever it is. And now Isaiah Wong's like, whoa. Yeah. He's getting 400, 500.
It's on my back.
And I'm only getting 100 or 150. Guess what? I'm worth more than he is. Like, this thing could get out there.
And he got it, apparently.
I got to believe he did, or close to it, if not more.
He came back.
And he's a pro.
And he's doing it.
Hey, for them, it was worth it because they're still playing right now.
Yep. Right? It is worth it. At what point is it worth it, Dougie, on T-Dubs?
Yeah.
Miami bought their win in the eighth. Guess
for what? For me, the second they put $500,000 in my account, then it's worth it. The second they put the $500,000 in my account, then it's worth it. Nah, but I really believe it, man. I'm 52, dude. I graduated in 93. I can always go back to Virginia. I'm sitting here with you guys because of Virginia. Like, you know, those kids are like, Spence, you'll never be 30. I get it. You'll never be 40. I get it. But you will.
And you can go back to the live podcast and Farmer's Market?
Oh, yeah. I just want to go to the locker room. I don't care about all the rest. I care about
holding court, talking with all your fans around you and all your friends. That's right. You pay for one thing that weekend.
Nope, not one thing. That's true. I also didn't offer. In fact, I only solicited. I told the Duke fan if he's going to buy one of our players a drink, he was buying it for everybody. One of our players' fathers a drink, I should say.
W, you did offer because you offered to buy me a drink and some food. So you did offer, definitely.
It was fake. I did offer. Thank you, Margie. That's why we're on the same team.
I was gonna ask. So that brings up the question. We talked about Isaac. What about someone like Caden? There's rumbles that he, given his playing time, unhappy, mainly wants to leave, is leaving. What do we think there? Do you hear anything, Spence? I mean, outside obviously VIP, who's got next has some data, but what else have we heard?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is purely from the outside looking in. I haven't heard anything directly, but I mean, if you look at the way he got treated this year, I mean, it's definitely right for him to test the waters, at least in the transfer portal. I think that he got really dealt a bad hand this year. He had one maybe questionable performance and sat for a lot of the season in the back end after a lot of good performances in the beginning parts of the season. And then he came out in the first game of he played his mind out of his mind against Furman.
All right, Spence, I'm going to debate you on this a couple of things. One, first of all, I want to make the point that next year this team could look so different.
Absolutely.
We might have one or two or three returning players.
Yeah.
Yep. Spence, I'm going to debate you on a couple of things. I'm often going to take the side of coaches, especially really good coaches, especially coaches who create a really, 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 really healthy environment and culture around their kids, because I've been part of healthy cultures. Some of my kids have been around healthy cultures, and sometimes they haven't. And I know the difference, and the difference is life-changing, right? And when you have one kid goes to pretty much through a series of teams with quality people around them and coaching staff, it makes such a difference in their lives versus – and they want to come back, and they want to like be like I was just on the phone with Ty, UVA. That's my team. That's my program. I'm gonna promote them all the time. I'm going to defend them all the time versus my other kid, Kobe, who's having – not having a great experience at his school and at UCR. The coaches, I'm going to say this, and I hope I do run that coach, who's just a real, I'm not going to use a Dougie word right now, but I'm not going to use myself. He's not a good guy, and he creates a really bad culture, right? But in a situation like Caden, I'm going to debate you on this, Spencey, Lilski. We don't know what's happening at practice, right? How many rebounds was he getting a game? I'm not I'm very careful, and I know T-Dubs about, and I have agree on this, and other people too. I'm not going to beat up a college kid. First of all, I don't want to criticize anybody, but like, Kaden, how many rebounds are you getting? I mean, how are you playing in practice?
Yeah,
you scoring down low. He had a good game, not a great game. He had a solid, pretty good game against Furman, right? He scored how many points? 12, 10, 12, 14 points?
15 and 12, I think, wasn't he? 15 and 13. He's a double.
Tallest guy on Furman was how tall?
Well, Furman doesn't play. They don't even touch the paint on offense or defense. I just said, Mark, ding me for touch the paint.
All right, see, the guy he was guarding was, what, 6'7", so he's got 4 inches
right
off.
Right. So, but, okay, he did his job. He can't help that the other team isn't what size they are, but does he have that same game if the guy's 6'10"? He did his part, and I'm not being able to not do his part. But before we say Kaden should be starting and going to the NBA or being a starter at UVA and commanding like 25, 35 minutes, maybe he should, maybe he shouldn't.
Right.
I'm not ready to like go against the UVA coaching staff when they're at practice every day with him and they're watching game film and they have talks with him and saying, Kaden, this is what we need you to do.
Right.
If they feel like he's not doing it, I'm not sure as viewers that we're qualified enough to determine how many minutes Kaden should get and say, like, okay, he got the shaft. He didn't get a fair shake, right?
No, definitely not. I mean, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but from our perspective, from the outside looking in, it would appear that he got dealt a bad hand. And I think that he definitely feels that based on, you could see him sitting on the bench, he's not happy with whatever's going on, whether it be his effort or something in practice behind closed doors is the reason he's not playing, or for other reason, he's not happy with the way the
amount. But
even in games, how many rebounds did he average this year?
Yeah, I was gonna give you a completely different angle from the outside. Is I thought he had every opportunity this season. He started, he got minutes, and I didn't see him do incredible things against. You know, I'm just looking at the BC game. I know he's had a few of those where it's like, where was he? Like he's our physical presence, and you know our defense. I get it is where it requires a lot from our bigs, but I didn't see a ton in a lot of games. He's kind of invisible. I thought he would have dominated more, and so I didn't see the grief or the why isn't he playing more. I thought he had every opportunity to step up and. It wasn't quite there, and maybe something else was going on that we didn't know. That's where my head was. I had the – like, it's funny. We're watching the same game. I had the completely different perspective. I thought it was like, he had every opportunity to step up, and he didn't. So maybe it makes sense for him to not play as much. I don't know. Like, that was where my head was with it. So it's interesting to hear both sides of that.
I think in his mind, after the first part of the season, he had where he would come in and have a chance – I think he was playing not to make a mistake. And then he'd make a mistake. You see the body language of, okay, I'm out. But if you remember, I believe it was North Carolina. BVP got hurt before the tournament. I think Poppy came in before him or started. And then Kaden came in. And he actually played through a couple of mistakes early. Yeah. And then through the ACC tournament and then against Furman, you know, he looks like the guy that we were hoping he'd be all season. I think what's going to happen with him, and I have no idea, I think if this was going on before the ACC tournament, before BVP got hurt, I think he was gone. This is totally my guess. I think because of that, he's going to test it and look around. He's going to be like, the fuck am I thinking? Like, this is the best place. Like, wherever he visits and goes and sees, forget about NIL. And I think he's going to be like, there's nothing close to this.
I wonder what his values were in the NIL world.
Yeah.
Right. And
that's the trick, right?
He may feel like, guess what? Like what's been said, I didn't get a fair shake. They didn't treat me well. They stopped playing me. I'm going to bounce. Or he may feel like you said, Dougie, guess what? There's this option. There's that option. I can't imagine. I don't think North Carolina is going to come after him. Nope. Right? I don't think Duke's going to come after him. So what level is he going to play next year? And if Virginia's still offering him a spot, like in next year, who's on the team? Like what if 25 minutes.
What if all he ever wanted to do was play zone and he goes to Syracuse? I don't want to hedge anymore. I just want to sit back in the zone and wipe shots
coming in there. They might not be playing zone anymore.
Yeah, Boeheim's gone. He might need to.
That's the irony. That's my point.
Right. He goes he thinks he's playing his own, and next thing you know, he's playing his
own. Now you think Red's got him hard hedging.
By the way, I had a coach text me about, I think I told you guys this, about McCoy.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He asked me about
the college coach.
Why did he leave and what did he want? And,
Yep.
And I just objectively, this is what I understand. So
interesting.
And then I was like, all right, we're going to pass. And I didn't say anything negative, or at least I didn't mean to influence.
Was it the dribbling and being able to pass part that you didn't like so much?
I don't know how he was in practice or games, so I can't make that decision. But I said from what I understand, this is what he wants to do.
I have the same story from not directly to me, but the exact same story from an inquiry on that exact same thing. So
I will say though, if you look at the game today in the NBA, like obviously the dream is generally go to the NBA. I want to be an NBA player and make millions of dollars, da, 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 all that. Look at the bigs out there and what they need to bring to the table to get to the league. Someone like Bacot, as great as he was in the Final Four run, he's not getting looks. Like, that player doesn't exist in the NBA anymore. So, I mean, is Kaden able to step out and hit threes and be a dynamic switch every position? Like, that's a different role. And that's a reality that these guys need to really think about. I don't have an answer to that, but it's just like, man, if you're thinking this is holding me back from becoming an NBA player, like, boy, I got a rude awakening for you there. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy, but like, that's a tough one.
No, it's true.
But yeah, Kaden has to think about looking at next year's roster. We've got Poppy's leaving, Ben's leaving, and Isaac Trout might be leaving. He's going to be one of the only guys who could play that five spot.
Yeah.
And if we don't pull on a transfer, he's going to be getting a lot of minutes, whether he's playing well or not. We're going to need a guy who's over 6 foot.
Spence, you just raised the big if question.
Yeah.
We have to pull in transfers. There's no way out. Right? There's only going to – guess what? If there's only four guys on scholarship next year coming back.
Boy. I'm eligible.
That's right. Spence, you're not only going to be like walking on –
I'll be the five.
Just get ready.
Playing time. Right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about – I have to run, but I'd love to talk about – which I'm not sure you mentioned in the open, T-Dubs. Can we talk about the system and people saying how it's a system?
How about we jump on again tomorrow or the next day? Let's do
Reese tomorrow.
I want to talk about Reese. I want to talk about Elijah. I want to talk about some of these other guys. Harris, I know there's a report out on him. I'd love to get that. So let's jump back on and talk about if
that's probably the way to do it.
Instead of drawing them. Just do these little bits and pieces. I don't know, 20.
And we'll get to questions, guys. Sorry, we had a quick hitter today.
Yeah, just a quick one today. I don't know, got a feel for an off season report, but I'd love to jump back on when everyone's free and we could talk.
Let's talk do it. A little
bit more if everyone's cool with that. Make sure you subscribe below, and we'll get to it.
We'll title the next one, Why Would Reese Come Back? No bigger Reese fan than me, but why would he come back?
Yeah.
That's what we'll talk about.
That's a good question. There's a lot. We got a lot to talk about.
It's like a soap opera. Are Dougie and Marky breaking up, or are they staying together? You guys got to come back to find out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. There could be more news by the time we come back tomorrow. So
I could already give the answer, Dougie. I'm not leaving you.
Thank you.
Don't leave me, Dougie.
Never. That's not how we do. I love it, Ty. Good job, Ty.
We'll jump back on shortly. Make sure you subscribe and follow us where it's available, and you'll find this content back up shortly. So I know we all got to go. Appreciate everybody. Go watch the games. Go Hoops.
Oh, Mark. Stay tuned. All right.